بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله last week we heard about والذين امنوا اشد حبا لله that the believers are more intense in the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse that we also discussed was, the one who fears the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ And he restrains his nafs from, or he restrains himself from base and evil desires, the Jannat is his abode. And the whole mazmoon last week of Hazrat Mawlana Zulfiqar Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, was on having love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, today we'll discuss very similar aspects on Islah and Tarbiyat. They say many centuries ago there was a student who spent undivided time in the company of Zainuddin Hujjatul Islam, Abu Hamid bin Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. We all know the famous Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. So this person, who was his student, his disciple, he had spent a lot of time in his company, and he had been engaged in acquiring ilm deen, and who engrossed himself in studying and acquiring ilm, until he qualified in intricate branches of knowledge and became competent in the sphere of spiritual upliftment, that is self-reformation. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi student engrossed in studies acquiring knowledge, and after studying many branches of deen, one day in a moment of introspection he thought to himself, I have studied many branches of knowledge. Ilm al-Deen has many branches. We have Ilm al-Tafsir, Ilm al-Hadith, Ilm al-Fiqh. There are many branches that a person acquires in Ilm. So then this thought came to him, I have acquired many branches of knowledge, spending the prime of my life learning and retaining these academic sciences. Now the time has dawned for me to understand what will be of benefit to me tomorrow and keep me company in the qabr? And what knowledge will not benefit me so that I may discard it? Just as Rasulullah has said, O Allah, I seek your protection from such ilm which is of no benefit. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Rasulullah said, O Allah, I seek your protection from such knowledge that is not going to be of any benefit to me. So this thought occurred to Zainuddin, to the student, to the student of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh. And after acquiring the different branches of knowledge, he thought, which knowledge is going to really benefit me now tomorrow in the qabr? The thought persisted in his mind, inducing him to write to Hazrat Shaykh Hujjatul Islam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayh. So he wrote to his Shaykh and asked him a question. Certain questions he had asked, and he asked for nasihat, he asked for dua. He thus wrote, although Shaykh's compilations like Al-Ihya, Ihya Ulumuddin is a masterpiece. In fact, many parts of the Ihya has been translated into English as well, and of course many other languages. So this is a masterpiece, especially on tasawwuf. So the student writes to his Shaykh, he says, although you have written kitab like Al-Ihya and many other kitabs which contain answers to my questions, however, my desire is for Shaykh to respond to my need in a few pages which I may keep for my entire life and practice accordingly as I live. So he wanted a special treatise, special kitab from his Shaykh, to give him specific answers to his questions. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi's response was very. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi just wrote, and he said, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Firstly, understand my son, my dear friend, may Allah keep you perpetually in his ta'at, in his ta'at, in his obedience. May Allah Ta'ala, he makes dua for his student, may Allah always keep you in his obedience and on the path of his beloved ones. Subhanallah, two things. May Allah Ta'ala always keep you in his ta'at, in his obedience. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep you in the company of his beloved ones. And he says that if you have already received this nasihat, encapsulated in this document, he had written out some nasihat for him, if you have already received it from elsewhere, then there is no need for my nasihat. And if you have not gained such nasihat, then tell me, what have you studied all these years? What have you studied all these years? He says, oh my son, amongst the words of advice which Rasulullah imparted to his ummah is the following. The sign of Allah Ta'ala's turning away from his servant is that the servant of Allah Ta'ala, the abd, begins to indulge in futile activities. In other words, when the servant now begins to indulge in futile activities, then this is the sign that Allah Ta'ala has turned away from him. The sign of Allah Ta'ala's turning away, i'rab, turning away from a banda, from a servant, is, what's the sign? That the servant is indulging in futile activities. And then he says, if a person spends his time, his life, in activities for which he was not created, then verily, it is only befitting that he be afflicted with persistent remorse. He'll always be in remorse, dunya, and perpetual remorse in the akhirat, when you did not spend your time in this world for the reason that you were created. So a person who indulges in futile activities, anything which is not in the ta'at of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what else can you? You can only have remorse. And whoever passes the age of 40, whilst his good is not above the evil, person commits sins, we all commit sins, but he passed the age of 40 and his good is not above the evil, then he should prepare for the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. Very, very stern warning, very, very heavy. It doesn't mean if a person is below 40, he can commit sins and do as he wishes. No. When a person reaches 40 years old, according to many tafsir also, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرِ in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala uses the word, وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرِ, and the warner has come to you. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ. Have we not given you that amount of lifespan for you to ponder and reflect? Ulama differ exactly what is that lifespan, what is that age which is sufficient for a person to ponder and reflect over his, the reason why he's been created and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some said when a person becomes baligh, that is sufficient age. But many of them said when the person reaches 40 years old. So by the time he reaches 40, by now his good should be superseding his evil. And if that is not the case, then the person should take serious heed. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of always being in his ta'at. He says, this nasihat is sufficient for knowledgeable people. Specifically, he gave this advice to his student, who was an alim, student of deen. But of course, it applies to all of us, we all students of deen. Of course, more applies to ulama and students, because they have been engrossed in different sciences of ilm, the entire lives have been spent in that. So we should be taking more heed to that. Allah Ta'ala protect us. But it applies to all of us. Person may be a murid of some sheikh, is a disciple of some sheikh. And even if you're not a disciple of any sheikh, and you're not a student of any ustad, we are still ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times we say, When he sues us to do something wrong, then we say, no, I'm not a Maulana. Or the wife will say, I'm not a Maulana's wife. The lady will say, I'm not a Maulana's wife. So does it mean that there's a separate shariat for the ulama and separate shariat for the non-ulama? No. Yes, those who have knowledge, then they should be more on guard than those who don't have knowledge. And they should be imparting their knowledge to others to direct them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm, knowledge, and the imperative need for amal. Ilm, we have knowledge, and with it, a person has to have amal. Whatever little knowledge we acquire, we have to make amal on that knowledge. He said, oh my son, offering nasihat is very simple. It's very simple to offer nasihat. Take a kitab and you give some nasihat. Or whatever you know, you pass on the nasihat to others. But the problem is its acceptance. To make qabool of that nasihat, to accept that nasihat. He said, for it is bitter in the palates of those who follow their vain desires. It's very bitter on the palates of those who follow their vain desires. This is so because forbidden acts are captivating to the hearts. The hadith of Rasulullah SAW is mentioned. حُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. See, Jahannam has been covered and surrounded with temptations. Person is tempted to look at that woman. He's tempted to look at that haram site. He's tempted to make zina. He's tempted to steal. He's tempted to gamble. These are all shahwat. These are all desires that a person has. The moment he perpetrates any one of these things, then he has torn open that barrier, that curtain around which Jahannam was covered. And what happens? He falls into Jahannam. Likewise, Jannat has also been covered with a covering. And that is of makarih. Things that are not very easy to the soul. Difficult to wake up for Fajr Salat, especially nowadays. It's difficult to go to for Fajr and perform Fajr Namaz or Jamaat in the Masjid. And why is it, I mentioned this, it is so important that we should read our 5 times Salat with Jamaat in the Masjid for the men. How many people now Fajr Namaz overslept or added at home? No, we should be reading our Fajr with Jamaat in the Masjid. Our Masjid should be full. It's not only in winter months, then when Fajr is 6 o'clock, then we come to the Masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned last week, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. You give priority to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It supersedes, it dominates all other love that you have. For every other dunya purpose, is this a soccer match, or we're taking a flight tomorrow somewhere, even if we may be going for Umrah, we make sure that everything is ready at night, and early morning, please take me to the airport. So then we are ready to do all those things. But Fajr wa Jamaat, respected brothers and elders, it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person who recites, who reads his Fajr, and ulama and commentators have mentioned, wud Jamaat, man salla subha, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. Then he is in the special protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You read your Fajr namaz with Jamaat for the men in the Masjid, of course ladies at home, then they will also enjoy the same benefit. Then that person is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course I'm digressing, Imam Ghazali didn't mention all this. This is for our explanation. The hadith says then, Allah ta'ala addresses the rest of people. And the meaning of the hadith is, I'm just simplifying it to you, for you, that if Allah says, when I have given somebody protection, I have given somebody protection, then dare you interfere in this protection that I have given him. Let me not seek you. Let me not look for you and search for you if you have interfered in this protection that I have given this person. In other words, if you try to harm this person, this friend of mine who read his Fajr with Jamaat, if you try and harm him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I will seize you. And who can escape from it? Allah ta'ala seizes that person. Nobody. So Allah's special protection is with that person who reads his Fajr with Jamaat. The person gets his Fajr namaz right with Jamaat in the Masjid, and the rest of the namazes become easy. So there are things that we do, forbidden acts, which are very captivating to the heart. The heart is attracted very easily to these things. And therefore Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah mentioned, to give nasihat is simple. But to accept that nasihat, that is difficult. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, the difference between them and the difference between us, when a sahabi, he should go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and genuinely they would seek advice with the intention that, Ya Rasul, whatever you are giving us now, we will follow and we will abide by that nasihat, and they will become so happy to receive that nasihat. In fact, when a sahabi is given some advice, Zidni Ya Rasul, Ya Rasul, give me more. And he would look forward to listening to a next advice to practice on it. The instances where Rasul gave 7-8 advices, one after the other. And the sahabi immediately brought that into his life. We go to some buzruk, some sheikh, Hazrat kut nasihat farma dij. It has become a habit, a practice now. We don't really mean it. We just want to hear some things. Our nafs has become accustomed to listening to talks of deen just for entertainment purposes. All of us. We just want to hear a very flowery bayan. And that is all. We're not prepared to accept that nasihat. We're not prepared to implement that into our lives. When we sit, introspect ourselves, all the time we worry about, you know, that must be applying to that person, and this person, and that person. When did you ever see, you know, this is really what something I need to get into my life. All of us are in need of nasihat. And all of us are in need now to make amal on that nasihat. Otherwise years will go past. And you can have the greatest of sheikh also. But if you're not prepared to practice on his advices, then you will never progress spiritually. A person like Imam Ghazali is telling his student. And remember, his student was not any ordinary person. His student also was a very great caliber person who spent so much of time in knowledge. And Imam Ghazali is actually telling his student, listen, to give advice is very simple. But the problem is to accept this advice. For it is bitter in the palates of those who follow their vain desires. And this is the effort of tazkiyah. To annihilate and to go fight and to wipe out and destroy those vain desires that we have. Those desires and temptations that pull us away from Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and take us closer to Jahannam. And that is a struggle. It's an ongoing effort. It's a lifelong struggle. Person has to be constant, consistent, all the time. It's not that we one match and it's all over. It's an ongoing battle for an alim, for a sheikh, for a qari, for a mufti, every single ummati, right till he leaves this world successfully. So he says that accepting nasihat is particularly difficult on a student going through the motions in his course, whilst being lost in vanity and the wonders of the world. He labors under the impression that the abstract knowledge he possesses will be his redemption and salvation, and that he is not in need of action. Of course, this is for ulama, especially in students of deen. And whilst a person is engrossed in learning different funoon and different sciences and branches of knowledge, his mere studying that knowledge is not a guarantee for his salvation. And the main thing is he has to make amal. He says, this is the belief of the philosophers. Just abstract knowledge is sufficient. Subhanallah al-Azim. This person, trapped in delusion, is unaware that studying ilm without putting it into action makes the case against him stronger. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amongst the question, he had mentioned in the hadith, that amongst the things that Allah Ta'ala will question a person on the day of Qiyamah, in one hadith, four questions will be asked. One hadith is five. A person's feet will not move from that ground on the day of Qiyamah until he does not give answers to these questions. And the very first question, Mada amilta bima alimta? What amal did you make on whatever knowledge you had? All of us possess some knowledge. It's not that we didn't go study some darul ulum, we don't have any knowledge. We have been sitting at the feet of great people. And in today's time, there's an outburst of knowledge. So we're all gaining some knowledge. What amal did you make according to the knowledge that you have? So the day of Qiyamah, the alim who did not make amal on his knowledge will be punished the most severest of punishment. Allah Ta'ala save us. It is reported that Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was seen in a dream after his death. He was asked, "What news do you have, O Abu al-Qasim?" Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was seen in a dream. Somebody asked him, "What news do you have? How's it like there?" Hazrat Junayd Baghdadi rahmatullahi replies in the dream. He said, "Those words of knowledge have vanished. Those subtle points have perished. And those who are students of Deen Ulama know that we have nukat, and we say that this, and we go into the intricacies of knowledge, which is important also. But a person can get lost in all those things, and his whole life can be spent in that, and he doesn't make any amal on the knowledge. That is no good." So he says that those subtle points have perished, and only the two dear rakats which we would offer in the middle of the night were of benefit to us. Those two rakats in the middle of the night of tahajjud, rakats, that was of benefit to us. He says, "Son, do not be bankrupt in deeds and empty of its seeds, spiritual excellences. Rest assured that abstract knowledge cannot be held with the hand. For example, a man is in the wilderness, he's in the jungle, and he has 10 lethal swords with him. He's got guns, he's got all the weapons. He's also very brave. And suddenly there's a huge lion approaching him. A very ferocious lion that attacks him. So Imam Ghazali Ram asks his student, "What do you have to say? What is your opinion? Do you think that his mere weapons that he has kept on the side will ward off the danger? Just the mere weapons that he has in his possession? Without him using them and putting them into action? Of course the weapons cannot ward off the danger without being wielded and put into motion. Similarly, if a person reads and learns 100 masalas, but does not practically apply them, then all those masalas that he learned will not benefit him. Their benefit is in applying them practically. Benefit is when you use those weapons and you ward off that lion. So the benefit is when you have that knowledge and you bring that into amal. Then there's benefit of that knowledge. He said, if you study for 100 years and collect 1,000 kitabs, still you will not be qualified for the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala unless you practice. That is why Quran throughout, man amila salihan min dhakarin aw untha wa huwa mu'min iman an amali saliha innal ladhina amanu وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ throughout the Quran, Iman, Amal Saliha. Iman, Amal Saliha. Allah Ta'ala says, verily, for those who have Iman and practice righteous deeds is the garden of Firdaus, wherein they will dwell forever. They will not desire to move from there. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Maryam, they were followed by such errant ones. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ. So people came afterwards who ruined the institution of Salat and they pursued their sensual desires. Allah Ta'ala says, soon they will taste the consequences besides those who repented and carried out good deeds. So if you're doing wrong, immediately Tawbah and followed by good deeds, by Amal Saliha. Because such people then, they will enter Jannah. And they will not be oppressed in the least. Then there is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which all of us know. Islam has been built on 5 pillars. Buni al-Islamu ala khamsin. Shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqami as-salah, wa ita'i zakah. So Islam has been built on 5 pillars. One is the kalima, testifying that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no deity but Allah ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah. Establishing salat, giving zakat, fasting the month of Ramadan, performing hajj for the one who has the means to reach Baytullah. Iman is to declare with the tongue and believe in the heart, and also a person should practice with the physical body. proof for the imperative nature of a'mal is innumerable. So although the abd reaches jannat only through the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it mentioned in the riwayat that a person gets jannat only due to Allah ta'ala's fazl and kindness and mercy for him. A person cannot go on the day of qiyamah and demand jannat on account of his actions. Your entry into jannah, your ultimate entry, is only through the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not bound to put any person in jannat. Allah, out of his fazl and kindness, does that. But after qualifying with ibadat and ta'at, indeed the rahmat of Allah ta'ala is with the muhsineen, for the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is such that although in the end he is putting you into jannat through his mercy, his grace, his favor, but his system is such that he wants you to bring iman in him and do those righteous deeds so that he may shower you with his mercy, because Allah loves those who are doers of good. Any person, we have parents, and if you, the son, you are kind to your parents, they would love you. They will show you mercy. They will give you whatever you want. But a person who is disobedient to his parents, does he expect then the parents to show mercy upon him? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter into jannat those who did good deeds, those who had iman. Although the entry into jannat ultimately will be because of Allah's fazl and karam and mercy. But Allah's mercy comes upon whom? Those who have iman, those who do good deeds. The akhirat and seeking jannah. If someone says, someone avers that a person can also reach jannah through iman alone, that is our response. Imam Ghazali Rahman says, yes, but after what? How many minefields will he have to cross before he comes to jannah? The first minefield is that of iman. And is he safe from his iman being snatched away or not? We have iman, we are believers, alhamdulillah. Do we have that guarantee we'll die with iman? Do we have the guarantee we'll be raised in the day of qiyamah with iman? So are we safe of our iman being snatched or not? And especially in today's times, and especially in this period of December, is there not that fear all the time that a person can lose his iman? Assuming that he reaches, will he be in misery and bankrupt? Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, Allah Ta'ala will say to his servants in the day of qiyamah, oh my servants, enter jannat with my rahmat and share it, that is my rahmat, by virtue of your deeds. He says, oh my son, as long as you do not carry out any action, you shall not be rewarded. If you don't do any good deeds, how can you get reward? It is narrated that a man from Bani Israel worshipped Allah Ta'ala for 60 years. Allah Ta'ala then wished to display him to the Malaika. Allah Ta'ala wanted the Malaika to see this servant of mine who's making my ibadat. Allah Ta'ala sent an angel to tell him, to tell his servant of his, that in spite of his ibadat for 60 years, he is not fit to enter Jannah. So message was delivered to him. Allah Ta'ala says that you're still not fit to enter Jannah. What did the Abid reply? The Abid replied, he says, we have been created for ibadat. It only behoves us, therefore, to make ibadat. Allah Ta'ala has created me for ibadat. This is my duty, this is my task, this is my responsibility, this is my obligation. My job is to make the ibadat of my Allah Ta'ala. That's why I've been created. Allah Ta'ala puts me into Jannat or not, that is His marzi, His desire. But my job is to worship my Allah. What a beautiful answer He gave. The angel returned and said, oh Allah, you know best what he said. Allah Ta'ala replied, since he did not turn away from our ibadat, by virtue of our generosity and munificence, we will not turn away from him now. Bear witness, my angels, I have forgiven him. So Rasulullah says, take an account from yourself before an account will be demanded from you, and weigh your deed before you will be compelled to weigh them. Oh, this is the saying of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, one who thinks that he can reach Jannat without effort, he is in a dream. He is a dreamer. One who thinks he can enter Jannat without any effort, he is a dreamer. Rasulullah SAW therefore has mentioned in a hadith, very famous hadith, which we mentioned many times, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa wa amila lima ba'd al-mawt. Clever person, intelligent person. is the one who is the master of his nafs. He suppresses his nafs, his carnal desires. And he carries out actions for the life after death. He prepares for the hereafter. He suppresses his nafs and he makes amal for the hereafter. Whilst a fool is one who follows his carnal passions and entertains all types of unwarranted hopes in Allah Ta'ala. He does not make any good deeds, not practice according to Quran, Hadith. He just sits back and says, Allah will forgive me. Allah is ghafur rahim, Allah will forgive me. Rasul regarded such a person to be a fool. He says, oh my son, how often you stayed awake at night, revising your books, your kitabs, your ilm, studying the various kutub, and depriving yourself of sleep. I don't know what constrained you to do that. If it was for accumulating the dunya, gaining worldly positions, and vying with contemporaries and friends, then you are doomed. Indeed, you are doomed. So the maqsad of studying knowledge is to gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why students and ulama take that path. Why? Because they want to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we seek knowledge? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we had any other ulterior motive, to get a nice big salary, to get some nice status, to get some high position for name and fame, Allah forgive us, Allah protect us. He says, indeed you are doomed. And if your intention was to revive the sharia of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to reform your akhlaq, your character, and break the nafsi ammara, the ammara bisu, the nafs which is pulling you and commanding you towards evil, and if your intention was to break this ammara bisu, the nafsi ammara bisu, then congratulations to you. He says, congratulations to you, and again congratulations to you. Son, live as long as you wish, but one day you will die. Love whatever you wish, one day you will have to part with it. Do whatever you want to do, you are going to receive what is due to you. He says, oh my son, knowledge without practical application is madness, insanity. And practical application without knowledge is ridiculous. You got to have knowledge as well. So if you have the knowledge of sharia, you're performing salat, you know the masail of salat, you will know, you will make sure your salat is done properly. Otherwise you'll be performing salat and not knowing the masail. So many times you may be doing things which will be causing that salat to be null and void. Taharat, so many other masail, zakat, hajj, rozas. So therefore, as you're making amal, also gain the knowledge of those things. He says, remember that knowledge which does not distance you today from sins, knowledge that which does not distance you today from sins and does not place you on the path of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never distance you tomorrow from the fire of Jahannam. If you do not practice on your knowledge today and make amends, make tawbah for the past, tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah you will say, return us to the world, we will do good deeds. But the response will be, no, how can you ever return from here? Kalla, impossible. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, he says, these bodies of ours, they are like birds, cages or animals, stables. Cages of birds or stables of animals. He says, reflect over which of the two species you are from. If you are from the high flying birds, then when you hear the sound of return to your Allah, fafirru ilallah, return to your Allah, you will fly high until you perch on the lofty towers of Jannat. This is just as Rasulullah said, the arsh of Rahman shook on the demise of Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, we had mentioned the whole biography of him once. When he passed away, Allah's arsh actually shook out of joy and ecstasy that my Sa'd has passed away today and Sa'd's ruh is coming up. Allah's arsh actually shook. 70,000 angels came down to attend the janaza of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, then Rasulullah himself had to actually tiptoe when he attended the janaza of Sa'ad bin Mu'adh. Sahaba Rasulullah looking, why are you tiptoeing, Ya Rasulullah? Very strange. He says, 70,000 angels have come down for his janaza. There's no space even to walk properly. So when a person is flying high, how? He says when you hear, if you are from the high flying birds, then you will hear the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will fly high until you perch on the lofty towers of Jannah. And Allah forbid, if you are among the animals, like Allah ta'ala states, these people are like animals, in fact even worse. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. They are more astray. Then don't think that you are safe from moving from the corner of your home to the bottomless pit of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. It is reported Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali was given a drink of cold water. He took the cup but fell unconscious. You will read in the biography, especially of Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali and many others, Sahaba also, Tabi'een, and the great Awliya Allah. There were so many occasions that for us it looked very trivial, very petty. How come he fell unconscious? I mean, somebody gives a glass of water and you fall unconscious on that. The cup fell from his hand. When he regained consciousness, he was asked, what is wrong, O Abu Sa'id? Referring to Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali, he replied, the thought of what the denizens of hellfire will say to the dwellers of Jannat occurred to me. Pass on to us some water or some food which Allah has given to you. Just the thought of the entire scene where the people of Jahannam will shout out, Unada ashabu nari, ashab al jannah, an afidu alina mimma razaqakum Allah. They pass on to us that rosy that you are enjoying, that Allah has given you. Give us one sip of that water. Give us some of that food. Just that thought came to me now, and it caused him to fall unconscious. This was the type of hearts they had. When that heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it will result in these people thinking in that way. And this is what will happen. Then Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi advised his student, he said, the virtue of istighfar, dhikrullah, and ibadat in the late hours of the night. He says, oh my son, if mere knowledge was sufficient for you without the need for practical implementation, then the call of, is there anyone who is asking? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness? Is there anyone repentant? The hadith of Rasulullah says that Allah Ta'ala on the last third of the night, Allah Ta'ala says, is anybody asking for anything? I'm prepared to give him. Anybody seeking forgiveness? I'm prepared to forgive him. So this call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be futile then. If it was just knowledge that a person gains and gives him salvation. Then why is the need for Allah Ta'ala to say, is there any person turning to me? Is there any person begging from me? This call is sounded from the heavens during the late part of the night and on certain nights, Laylatul Qadr night, etc. That Laylatul Qadr night, it is the whole night, the entire night. He's reported this group of Sahaba, radiallahu anhu wa jama'in, spoke of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at that time, Rasulullah sallam had mentioned, Abdullah is such a good person. If only he offers salah during the night, referring to tahajjud. When Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar heard of this, he never missed one tahajjud after that. Such a good person. If only it is tahajjud, meaning then he's got everything. He says, oh my son, and for a portion of the night of offer tahajjud salah. It is a command of the Quran. Of course, although tahajjud is not farz on us, and because I will say again, we mentioned many times, especially in these days when the nights are very short, and for weak people like myself, we should read our tahajjud, whatever Isha after you read your four farz, Jamaat, two sunnat, then our ulama and fuqaha have said, read your two rakats of tahajjud. Then yes, if you wake up in the night again, mashallah, well and good, you read your tahajjud, more rakats. Or before you retire to bed, just before you go to sleep, you make your wudu and read your tahajjud then in sleep. If your eyes open up early, you wake up early and it's still time for tahajjud, then well and good, you can still read tahajjud namaz, no problem. But by reading at least with the Isha Salat or before going to bed, then at least you got your tahajjud instead of just losing it altogether. Tahajjud Salat is da'bu saliheen. This is the practice of all the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't find a person who is a true lover of Allah ta'ala and there's no tahajjud in his life. Every salih person, genuine, true, pious person, righteous person who is a friend of Allah, you'll find this common trait amongst all of them, that they were always reading tahajjud salat. Of course, now and then the person will miss it due to suffer or person not well. But generally in his life you'll find he is tahajjud salat. May Allah ta'ala make us from all amongst those people who read the tahajjud salat. Allah ta'ala talks about in the Quran, وَبِلْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and those who engage in istighfar pre-dawn. Before dawn, they are making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, you are required. Allah ta'ala encourages us to engage in tahajjud salat and dhikr and shukr in the dark hours of the night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith that he has mentioned, Imam Ghazali has mentioned, Allah ta'ala loves three sounds. And he said, number one, the rooster's crow, the crowing of the rooster. Why? Because it wakes you up for Fajr Salat. Comes in hadith, لَا تَسُبُّ الدِّيكَ فَإِنَّهُ يُوقِذُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. When the rooster is, the hen is crowing, then don't shout it, don't swear it. Why? It's waking you up for Fajr Salat. And number two, the sound of Quran being recited. Subhanallah. Go to any madrasa, hifz, classes are taking place and just stand by the door. And how beautiful the sound of recitation of the Quran is. And he said the third thing is the sound of those engaged in istighfar during the hours preceding dawn. Those people at the time of tahajjud, when they're making istighfar, that sound is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi has said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created a breeze which blows before dawn and which carries istighfar and adhkar to Al-Malikul Jabbar, to Allah ta'ala. Allah has got this breeze that carries the istighfar and the adhkar to Allah Rabbul Izzat. He also said, at the onset of the night, a caller calls out from the beneath the arsh, listen, let the abidun, the worshippers of Allah ta'ala, stand in prayers. Thus they stand and offer salat as much as Allah ta'ala wills. Then a caller calls out in the middle of the night, listen, let the qanitun, the obedient ones, stand in prayer. Thus they stand up and offer salat till the time before dawn. When the time preceding dawn, sari time, sets in, the caller calls out, listen, let the mustaghfirun, those seeking forgiveness, stand. Thus they wake up and engage in istighfar. When fajr time sets in, the caller calls out, let the ghafilun, the ones who were dreaming, negligent, the forgetful ones, stand up now. Thus they get up from their beds, like dead people being resurrected from their graves. He said, oh my son, it is reported in the wasaya, in the legacy of Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam, Luqman the wise, had given his son and many others very, very, very pertinent, very priceless advices. He said, let not the rooster be cleverer than you. It calls out before dawn while you are still sleeping. So ta'at, the obedience of Allah ta'ala, ibadat we have to make, and mujahada. Again he says, oh my son, the essence of ilm is to know what obedience, what ta'at, and what ibadat is. What ibadat are, what you have to do. If you have knowledge, then you know what route to take. Understand well, the ta'at. You see, قُلْ أَطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولِ. The ta'at, the different actions of ibadat. And ibadat means to follow by word and to practice the commandments and prohibitions of the Sharia. In other words, everything you say, you do and forsake has to be in keeping with Sharia. For example, if you fast on the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq, 11, 12, 13 of the Hijjah, you will be regarded as a sinner. You're doing a very good action in fasting, but because it's not in keeping with Sharia, Sharia says those days you don't keep fast. So if you happen to fast, or you keep fast on those days, you'll be regarded as a sinner. Similarly, if you offer salat with clothes which you took wrongfully, You stole somebody's clothing and you went and read salat with it. You will be sinning. Notwithstanding that you are making an ibadat, but still you're a sinner because you stole. He says, son, your actions and your statements should be in conformity to Sharia. What Allah says, what Rasulullah says, what Allah wants, what Rasulullah wants. For ilm and amal, without following the Sharia, is deviation. That is called dalala. And do not be deluded by the statements, the bizarre statements. Sometimes some people make some very bizarre statements. And extraordinary displays of the Sufia. Very important. A person follows a Shaykh who must be following Quran and Hadith. Not something that he just fabricating. And sometimes the person make a bizarre statement. Not keeping in with Quran and Hadith and Sharia. So you don't follow those statements. Because, he says, walking this path of suluk is by virtue of mujahada, striving to fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And breaking the desires of the nafs and killing its passions with the sword of spiritual exercises, not through mystical utterances. So the important thing is, yes, mashayikh will mention certain things, but that whatever they mention, their malfuzat, you will find it is the nichor, the gist of Quran and Hadith. Anything beyond Quran and Hadith is not acceptable. Remember that a loose tongue and a decayed heart, which has got only ghaflat in it, these are all signs of ill fortune. Thus, if you do not kill your nafs with true mujahada, your heart will never come alive with the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It continues, there are four obligations upon the salik, the one who is treading the path of tazkiyah towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also for the student who is acquiring knowledge, and all those who are disciples or murids of any sheikh, then he has given some advices. But the gist of whatever we have discussed today was that the knowledge that we have, then we got to make amal on the knowledge. And the knowledge and the amal must be, the knowledge must be beneficial knowledge. That knowledge which takes a person closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the amal must be in conformity with the Sharia. Then inshallah we will find ourselves purifying our hearts, cleansing our hearts. We will make mistakes, but immediately tawbah istighfar. وَبِالْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. We will have the desire now to do all those things that will gain Allah Ta'ala's proximity, Allah Ta'ala's closeness. Allah will make a plan for us. What do I mean by that? Allah Ta'ala will help us to refrain from sins. When we are tempted, Allah will come to our rescue. And Allah will make such plans for us that we are safe from falling into that sin. This is out of Allah Ta'ala's kindness. And like that, Allah Ta'ala will push us slowly onto this path, which is Sirat al-Mustaqim, and take us gradually to Allah Rabbul Izzat. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us. Therefore, just hearing some talk, of course the speaker, and also those who are listening, the important thing, the intention should be making amal, and reflect over our lives, that how many years of our lives have just passed away ahead. When Maut is going to strike, we do not know. How many more years do I have? And what guarantee do I have that I will now become righteous and pious, and after so many years I will be doing everything correctly? We don't have any guarantee. What guarantee we have that our iman will be intact and never be snatched? And we see today really, 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 really such strange things that take place. It's a lesson for all of us. Sometimes even we are reading salat and doing good deeds, but we have no guarantee of dying with iman. And therefore, Allah's rahmat will come when we turn to Allah, beg from Allah, make dua to Allah Ta'ala for hifazat, read those duas for protection of iman, stay in the company of the good, the pious. Those are the only things that will assist us. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.